the people in New York. How is it possible that Tampa's winning all these championships? Plus, they came close. I mean, and if Kevin Cash doesn't pull Blake Snell in that ballgame, who knows? They might have a World Series as well with the Super Bowl title and two Stanley Cups.
Yeah, I'm going to get hated on right now, but I don't really care. People in New York, please can tell you what Tampa Bay is.
We love this man. He does a tremendous job with the New York Extra. He's the editor-in-chief there. And we are trackside on a deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Always a pleasure to welcome a full-fledged, card-carrying member of the Degenerate Brethren. The great Len Robbins joins us here on the program. Len, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay, but I have to be honest. This morning is one of those mornings where I have to question my life decisions. Can I share?
Sure.
Okay, so yes. The daughter's boyfriend is in visiting, so she's sleeping on the couch. She's sleeping in her room, right? The son is sleeping in his room. The wife is sound asleep, so I'm coming to you live from the guest bathroom in the West Wing.
That's great.
A very refined distinction for many of our guests. We've done shows out of bathroom. Len Robbins, the New York Extra, with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. Deciding games by penalty kicks, or I used to do this, right, when you were playing a game in New York City, and you would just yell, "Your mother!" And that was enough to get the goalie to dive to his left as the ball was still sitting there on the ground, and the guy would hit some slow roller in the right side of the goal.
Well, because I think that if we want to expedite the legal system, right, throughout the country, we should decide marriages on penalty kicks. I think that's
the time.
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to the Defo Show.
Week is flying by, at least it is to me. I don't know if it's the same for you guys out there. Great to be with you. Jeff DeForest and Mike Luby Lubitz with you. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. It's the ALT Defo Show, brought to you by Altitude International. Skyrocketing, all of the things anticipated about this company right now, altitude-international.com. For your entrepreneurs out there that are interested in this sort of thing, this sort of growing business. All right, many, many things to discuss here. Very excited about a few things upcoming on the show today. Of course, as I said, the week is flying by. That means it's Thursday already. And we'll have Tony Segretto, the great Tony Segretto, with us from 8 to 9. Go old school with Tony. That's brought to you by Catholic Health Services. Terrific people. I mean, could not have done a better job with the passing of my mother. A very trying and difficult circumstance. And they really they came up big. I really want to thank them from the bottom of my heart and from my brother's heart as well. Because, as I've said many times, my brother very discriminating when it comes to these sort of things. Could not have had higher praise for Catholic Health Services. Texas Roadhouse Restaurants. Ed Garcia is not going to be with us today on the program, but always makes me hungry. How long does it take you? Does he have you at hello, Luby, in terms of
the
making
you
crave
you mentioned the name Texas Roadhouse. We actually went there for my mom's birthday Monday night. My family's become like our family get-together destination. The kids can be loud and crazy, and no one bothers them. They have a wide array of food. It comes out hot and fresh. You got that bread that keeps everyone happy. So, yes, any time I hear the term Texas Roadhouse, I instantly get hungry and want food.
Yeah, and you've also pilfered, especially during COVID-19 when nobody was in the building. All of those gift cards that you got from Ed Garcia. So, yeah, it's nice. I mean, there's nothing better than not having to pay the tab at the end of having a great meal. A. Caruana & Associates Realty, 47 years, same spot that speaks for itself. Peter Lloyd. People, they do a great job. I don't know. I mean, would you describe the market as volatile? You're in real estate, Mike Luby Lubitz. In terms of you have to decide, I mean, even if you had the capital to buy a home right now, do you do it? Do you pull the trigger on it with the prices high? Certainly, if you're selling, you can't wait to get out because, as you said, you had some condo that wasn't exactly overwhelmingly desirable. Five full-price offers the very first day, Luby. So you need some good advice. A. Caruana & Associates can guide you through a very tricky and tough-to-judge real estate market. All right, many things happen, and that's Tony at 8 o'clock. Tommy Hutton going to join us later on in this hour after a deal Volkswagen DeForest files, and Scoop Skolnick from the Five Reason Sports Network, his observations on the NBA Finals, which I thought that Milwaukee would win last night. I thought this was going to be a close, hotly contested game early on in the contest, even though they only led by 23-20 at the end of the first quarter. I thought Phoenix was very much on its game. Did you not, Mike Luby Lubitz? I didn't watch the entire game. I actually fell asleep from the first quarter until the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, which that was a perfect time to wake up. I didn't set my alarm to that, Mike Luby Lubitz, but as my Uncle Joey always used to say, all you have to see is the last 4 minutes of any NBA game. I'm not sure that was true last night. How did you find the NBA game four? It seemed like we waited a long time for that, and now they're going to stretch it out another 3 days. Come on, Adam. Let's get this over with.
Really? The next game is on Saturday?
Saturday night is the next game, and then Tuesday for game six. So now the Bucks fans were screaming, Bucks in six. Is that the equivalent of Rachel Nichols and or the tantamount to the kiss of death that they were making this chant? As they were, you know, in a position there, they had pretty much clinched the ball game. It would have taken Reggie Miller type of miracle to get Phoenix back into it. And with 2.2 seconds to go, it's doubtful that they're going to sort of find a way to carve out 8 points, you would think. So the game was over, and the Bucks fans were going crazy. Now, I will say this, and Brett Tesser pointed this out, one of his social media posts, and he spends time in Wisconsin. He's been, I don't know if he went to last night's game, but he was at game three. And he was saying that there is no greater loyalty than Midwest fans have for their teams. And that may be a very fair statement. Are New Yorkers in the same category, Boston people? Is there any greater loyalty? In other words, they don't care. I mean, you look at the Chicago Cubs. They were awful forever, and yet they still drew capacity crowds to Wrigley, night or day. So they keep faith in their teams. They don't turn their back on them. They don't go Cervino on them like we do here in South Florida, where the minute a team is sub 500 for even a season, even at the midway point, we turn our back on them, right? Yeah. Everybody was on the Marlins bandwagon last year when they made their way into the postseason. And let's not forget, they won a round before they ran into the Braves, who are an outstanding team.
Yeah.
And they were playing good ball at the time, not just the Marlins, but the Braves especially so. It was no disgrace to lose that series after beating the Cubs. And yet this year, because they're not doing so well, and I don't know. How would you deem what's happened so far? Mild disappointment?
Yeah, frustrating.
Yes, I mean, not to point a finger of blame at anybody. I mean, a lot of it was circumstantial. And look, they were under the heading of one of my favorite designations in any column that is assessing the value and the chances of a horse in a race. There he goes with his horse racing again. But you know how they used to have that? They used to do this a lot in the Miami News. It's a pretty common thing. You'll see it in the racing forum, where there's a three or four word comment after every horse. And one of my favorite designations in that category was must make no mistakes. And is that not true in other areas of sport, where you see the Marlins coming into the season, if they were going to be successful to the tune that they were last year, and kind of build on that, use last year as a springboard instead of just having people trying to validate the idea that they thought it was somewhat of a fluke, that they must make no mistakes this year. That they would have to play a very high caliber of mistake-free baseball and have nothing bad happen to them, and that just wasn't the case. So we'll talk about it with Tommy Hutton. We're still alive in a deal. Volkswagen Run for 71, I think very much alive. Now, I am not a big fan of self-pity, Luby. Are you a big fan of self-pity?
Not really. I try not to do that myself, at least.
You don't look at other guys at the radio station that are driving up in their fancy cars and go, man, I do a much better job than they do.
I've done it in my life, but I've tried to get away from it because it actually doesn't push you forward. It stalls you.
I'm kind of a take my lumps and move on kind of guy myself. I don't like to wallow in self-pity. It seems like a useless endeavor, doesn't it? Sit there and be jealous of what somebody else has. Maybe the luck didn't go your way. We talked about it yesterday on a show. You need luck in this life. It's not just, look, there are people that are driven and they know they're going to be successful and they're determined to do that and they end up whatever you want to measure success by, whether it's money, happiness, the kind of lifestyle that you're leading. Certainly mine has gone in many different directions. But I'm not inclined to wallow in self-pity, although I feel a little bit of it right now because Jordan Spieth is on fire, Luby. And I put a line right through him. I've been buried by Spieth. It's been strike one, strike two, strike three. Every time I write this guy's name down, he's staggering around on the course there like he's been on an all-night bender back in the 80s here in Miami. Was that a pyramid of cocaine, sir? No, but he looks like he's out of it in the tournaments that I back him in. So I scratch him off the list and I take Bezuidenhedenhuizen.
Okay.
And Spieth is lightening up right now at the British Open, which looks nothing like the usual version of the British Open. The scorched earth theory. There were like lush fairways and greens. Luby, you have to turn this thing on and see if it looks anything similar, any kind of facsimile of the crap that we were talking about this tournament going in. I like it, though. A little bump and run, my friend. Bump this. Well, we missed Peter Alice on the tournament. I didn't know he was dead, Luby. I'm glad you told me, because I probably would have still referenced
it. It was recent.
Was
at least
alive.
What we've said guys were alive and they were dead for 15 years. Like, it was the end of 2020, so it was recent.
Are there not certain voices that immediately define what event it is that you're tuned into? Certain voices. So you could say this about Keith Jackson college football, correct?
Vince
Although
Scully,
he did other sports.
Vince Scully always meant not only Dodger baseball, but just baseball to me.
Exactly. I mean, with local announcers, it's much more common, right? As soon as you hear Mick Hubert,
oh, my.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's Gator football.
Yeah,
Al Michaels. Think Coach Spurrier will come back?
Al Michaels is becoming
No, you hillbilly fool. He's not coming back. I should host Gator Hotline as like the anti-Gator Nation. I don't want to get anybody upset today. That's not my goal. Keith Jackson football, Don Dunphy when he was doing a Gillette Fight of the Week. Kurt Gowdy on the American Sportsman. You knew exactly what you were going to see, did you not?
Yes.
You were going to see Bing. And who was the other guy? Phil Harris, man. He could consume alcohol. Phil Harris, three drunks hanging out by a little fire somewhere off a tributary that was going through the mountains of Montana. They have mountains there, right? And, you know, they were going to fry up some trout in an old pan that looked like they had done some gold mining before they got started. But he had that folksy voice. I guess, did you also know it was AFL football if Kurt Gowdy was doing a game in a week?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. And of course, the Red Sox fans will recognize him from a local level as being, well, was he right up there for the Red Sox? Was he to the Red Sox what Vin Scully is to the Dodgers? He didn't stay there that long. But certain voices are like that. Peter Alice was like that for me. I mean, as soon as you heard Peter Alice, you knew you were watching a British Open.
Oh, it's a pity. Speaking of wallowing in self-pity, Defoe, it's a pity that Bazootin, Wheaton, Hoden is not anywhere close to Jordan Spieth, who you scratched off your list.
All right, but it's underway, the tournament, and some of the big guys are doing okay. Dustin Johnson, I think, was 2-under the last time I checked. So that's all happening live right now, the Open in golf with the Lynx course. So we'll talk to Tommy Hutton about that and baseball coming up in just a few minutes. A deal Volkswagen DeForest Files is on tap in a few minutes as well. We'll be back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
What are you talking about today, Defo?
I came up with something. It's 7:18.
Holy cow. Are you as confused as I am about these new tax laws? Thank goodness you can buy all the things you need with a fixed-rate second mortgage loan as low as today's prime rate of 7.5%. That's right, 7.5%. Best of all, the low-interest payments may be fully deductible. Qualified homeowners get instant approval. Call the Money Store toll-free. Dial 1-800-221-9000.
Grab a bagel and a schmear, plus some Defo and Luby. Welcome back to the Defo Show.
Here's Scotty Scheffler from just a shade under 2 feet, in fact 23 inches. The amount of ground here, the amount of terra firma he's going to have to navigate and negotiate successfully. And there it is, well-holed by this gentleman. The nerves were steady. The long stick has served him well. All right. British Open underway. I mean, am I obsessed with this thing, Luby?
Yes, yes, you are.
Just because I have a few bucks on it? It's like we always say, and welcome back to the show, people. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz with you. ALT Defo Show brought to you by Altitude International. Later on, we go old school with Tony Segreto. Tommy Hutton going to join us here with a little, I don't know, is that kind of corny, the old Marlins midterm report card? My midterm report cards were rarely favorable. I think one time in my lifetime I had a favorable midterm report card because I was actually applying myself for one semester at Syracuse University in the first half. And then all hell broke loose. I don't know exactly what happened. It was Animal House. And if I was ever going to, be a guy that was in the same category as a sports announcer as the great Bob Costas, who I think was a year behind me at Syracuse University. Certainly blew past any achievements that I had in this industry, Louis. But I don't mind being out there on the fringe, do you? It's okay out here. In the gray areas,
I'm okay.
In between success and failure. Am I wallowing in self-pity now myself? Ah, it's a pity. His ball
you've done exactly what you
slightly
want.
Offline.
I feel like you yeah. maybe guess would do a little bit more boxing, but other than that, you sort of live the life you want.
I did my share. Yeah. It could have gone differently. A lot of things could change, but, you know, that it's too late now, my friend. It's too late, baby. It's too late. We just this is the business that we have chosen, and it's great. But nonetheless, obsessed with the British Open because, and it is true, right? They have us, all of these betting sites. They have us by the jugular, don't they? Mike Luby Lubitz, see, you haven't been afflicted yet because you aren't inclined to go in this direction anyway because you don't trust your own sporting instincts. I believe that's part of your problem, my friend. I believe that you don't have faith in your own selections, especially after some of the picks that you've made here on the show.
I let my bias get involved. So that's my problem. My bias gets involved, so that's why I'm smart enough to not put money behind it.
You would be betting with your heart.
Yes, a lot.
And not your head.
Exactly.
Yes. And if you were betting with your head, it would probably be an equal catastrophe.
Oh, please.
Based on some of the opinions you've expressed here on this program, which are the opinions of Mike Luby Lubitz exclusively. So, dead wrong about the NBA, right? You had the Phoenix Suns sweeping after the first two games, winning in five.
I had them winning in five. I was really confident they'd win in five, so that's now shot, yes.
You were buying a round of drinks at Marley's there? Remember how tough it was to get a cup of coffee for some reason in that place? You had to go outside the time we went to Arizona for the Super Bowl?
Yes.
See, there I am, wallowing in self-pity. Why would I remember that out of all the things that happened? I couldn't tell you one guest we had on the show there from Phoenix.
Arizona one is sort of a blur. I don't really remember. I remember driving and going, wow, there's a lot of orange sand and not much else.
There's a lot of wasted. I don't know that it's wasted land because it's wasteland anyway. Much like the courses usually in the British Open, but that's not the case today. As you would think that they were playing somewhere in Hawaii in January, Luby. I mean, everything is just plush. Pineapples are falling down from the trees. It's incredible. All right. Tommy Hutton going to join us. We love talking to Tommy. It's been a while, and looking very much forward to hearing what he has to say about the Marlins' first half and what's on the horizon. They're actually slightly past the midway point. July 4th would have been the midway point. And one-run losses are really the things, you know, that's plaguing the team as much as anything. One-run losses.
Yep.
So just not quite enough. And getting shut out, I mean, they'll score 11 runs, runs one day and then 0.0 the next. That's not good. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I do think we're alive in a Deal Volkswagen run for 71. I think we're going to hit that. And a Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files is up next. It's 728. Are there favorable signs in the run for 71? That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. Summer is heating up, and so are the great deals on certified pre-owned vehicles at DealVW. It's like getting a new car without paying a new car price. They're basically selling them wholesale to the public, and they all come with a clean Carfax vehicle history report, great mileage, and better prices. Jetta models, Passat models, and Tiguan models, and much more. All at great prices with Volkswagen-backed warranties. Check out the deal inventory online and see the great quality selection they have. Only showroom quality vehicles and many with one owner. Real cream puffs and new inventory arriving daily, so check often. Get down to their classic location at 3601 Bird Road and beat the heat in a certified pre-owned VW. You'll be like thousands of happy customers that say, it's all about the DEEL. Carfax vehicle history reports are based only on information supplied to Carfax. Carfax does not have the complete history of every vehicle. With the All-Star break upon us and the Marlins set to swing back into action Friday night against the Phillies, it's time to dig in for the grind on the Deal Volkswagen run for 71. The Fish would need to post a record of 32-41 in their final 73 remaining games for the folks at Deal and us to cash a ticket in consecutive seasons. That after crushing the number during the COVID-compromised 2020 campaign, going back-to-back, however, is going to take some work. The 2021 campaign began loaded with promise. In fact, the over-under total for the season posted at a modest 70-and-a-hook wins looked like a misprint on the betting sheets when it was first established. We jumped on it with unbridled enthusiasm, thinking the team's starting five in the rotation would be as good as any in Major League Baseball. And with Kim Ng at the controls from the GM chair, keying on shoring up Don Mattingly's bullpen, it wouldn't take much to finish 20 games under 500 for the season. But as they say about the best laid plans, starting five was immediately diminished with injuries to hot prospect Sixto Sanchez, who won't perform at all this season after recently undergoing shoulder surgery, and the loss of Eliezer Hernandez, who has been able to make just two starts after showing so much promise at the tail end of last year. The designation TBD has become all too common, listing Marlins starting pitching during the season. And despite getting excellent performances through the entire first half from their three remaining healthy starters, the Marlins have had to be extremely creative in coming up with ways to fill the void left by the losses of Sanchez and Hernandez. While run production has been inconsistent and not especially timely, there have been some bright spots with the bat. Adam Duvall and Jesus Aguilar have been among the league leaders in RBIs all year long, and Duvall's 19 homers make that acquisition look very solid. Aguilar, who was a bright spot when picked up last year, has continued to spark the club throughout the season, and Jazz Chisholm has also been a catalyst at different times. Starling Marte has been consistently professional in the field and at the plate, and his loss to injury early in the year had definitive impact on some of the team's many close losses. However, in capsulizing the Marlins' frustrating first half, all one needs to do is look at the number of one-run games that they have lost. As of July 4th, the actual midpoint of the season, the Fish had fallen 18 times in one-run games. That equates out to 36 for the year, which would be one off the all-time franchise record of 37 one-run losses set in the team's inaugural 1993 campaign. Zach Thompson has shown promise as a starter, giving our reigning manager of the year one more spot in the rotation he may be able to count on in the second half. Alcantara, Rogers, and Lopez have all been good enough to make us believe we can eclipse that number. Have to toss in the disappointment in the lack of development of guys like Louis Brinson, Monty Harrison, and anyone named Diaz. Still, think the Fish will make it to 71. At this point, anything more would be a plus. But with a little luck and a better fate in close games, our bank account could be a little fatter come October, even without another postseason appearance. Jeff DeForest, The DeForest Files. Tommy Hutton, we love you. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. I hope we get to talk to you again next week or sometime very soon before it all concludes, because it's always a pleasure, my friend. And thank you so much for being with us.
Be happy to. And bottom line is, I am older than you are.
Older than Defoe.
But you look a lot better, my friend.
You're the best.
Well preserved. You're using that Minervini Botox or something.
The morning just isn't right without Defoe. It's now time for The Defoe Show.
It was a lot of the buzz when we were in Las Vegas. Welcome back to the show, the ALT Defoe Show, brought to you by Altitude International. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz with you. 940 wins, 1230 The Zone. A lot of the buzz around Las Vegas centered around the fact that while I was celebrating my 70th birthday party, how is it possible that Tommy Hutton, who is older than Defoe, looks so much younger? Especially, you know, since we see him so often looking great on TV. Tommy, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Defoe, I'm great. And welcome to the septuagenarian category, as we can say we are in right now. But be careful on the tennis court. Just be careful, because once you reach that age 70, you have a tendency to fall a little bit.
That's funny that you said that, because I went straight down on my face the very first time I played.
No.
And I'm still hurting, Tommy. I don't know what that is. I didn't even bounce off my ribs, and yet they're sore for the last week. But I'm going to try and give it a go today. But you hit it right on the head. I mean, down goes Frazier. What was ringing in my head as I was trying to chase down this crummy drop shot, not even a good one, executed by my friend Big Jack. I was curious about this, because I would imagine your loyalties, Tommy Hutton, are to the National League, having played with the Dodgers, exposed the Phillies, longtime now broadcaster with the Marlins. Does it bother you that the National League keeps losing the All-Star game, or does it make any difference in your life at all?
You know, at this point, it doesn't make any difference in my life. I can say that. But I will say that once they designated the All-Star game just to be an exhibition game, it doesn't matter as much. But there was a time when it did bother me, because you'd see all these guys playing in the game as opposed to trying to win the game. And I've read stories, having never been an All-Star myself, so I wasn't in the clubhouse, but I've read stories about back in the 70s where the commissioner would come in, or the president of the National League would come into the National League clubhouse and say, fellas, we got to win this game. This is against the American League. And you'd have guys like Pete Rose and Willie Mays back in those days. They'd play 7, 8, 9 innings. They played the whole game.
Wow.
So, and you could tell by the way the intensity was with, remember the Pete Rose collision with Ray Fosse and all that. But it's different now because it is an exhibition game, which I'm fine with that. Let the guys play. Let them show their talents. And I think we got an opportunity to see a lot of talented players in the major leagues in this recent game.
The country was divided about that Pete Rose play for many years, too. I don't know if they're still thinking about it, but I can still envision it. And you're thinking, wow, well, what a jerk in an all-star game to do that. And then at the same time, how could you point a finger at Charlie Hustle for hustling? And you could tell that exactly as you illustrated, Tommy Hutton, the game meant a lot more back in the so-called day. All right, I don't know. That was a little long-winded. I don't know if I came to any definitive conclusion except that I'm worried about the deal Volkswagen money that's riding on the run for 71.
I think you're okay.
Nice.
How would you assess the first half? I mean, what would be your conclusion about what happened in the first half with the Marlins, and should we feel good about it?
Well, I would say, first of all, to assess it, I would be a little disappointed because I was thinking of a little bit better record. Injuries factor in, but they factor in with every ball club. But when you start looking at the positive things, there were some really good things to look at. I think we all love watching Starling Marte play the game. It was unfortunate the time he missed. Solid guys in the middle of the lineup with Aguilar and Garrett Cooper. Again, when he's in the lineup, he misses a lot of time. And certainly Adam Duvall, who's been a nice sign. So you got those guys in the middle. Jazz has done a good job at the top of the order. Miguel Rojas. And I think the one thing, Defoe, that's going to help you with the 71 wins is the rotation. The Marlins are always going to be in games. They're not going to lose, I don't think, as many one-run games the second half as they did the first half. So they're always going to be in the games when you have guys like Alcantara, Lopez, Trevor Rogers. And I think we're going to see Edward Cabrera the second half of the season at some time. He just got promoted to AAA. So I think we'll see him. So the rotation is always going to keep you in games. And if the offense can get a little consistent, that's a key word, is consistent, because they'll have games where they score 8, 9, 10 runs, and then they'll go 2 or 3 games where they score run 1 or 2 runs. So you got to get the consistency. But I think you're looking good for your drive to 7-1.
Talking to one and only Tommy Hutton here. I'm Marlins broadcaster, 941 Twitter on the iRadio app. I come to you from the Al Felice Only Studios. I'm going to ask you, because the closer spot has been interesting for the Marlins the last few years. Anthony Bender's pitched really well, and Yimi Garcia has sort of struggled the last month. You saw them finally make that switch, and I think the last game before the break, and Bender pitched well and won, I think, a one-run ball game or very close game, or held on for the save. Why did Mattingly keep going to Garcia when it seemed like he was struggling for, a 2-3-week period? Like, managers do that a lot, where they stick with their guy, and I understand the loyalty thing, but when you have another guy in the bullpen pitching really well like Bender, why do managers take so long to make that switch when it comes to the closer?
I think sometimes it's because a manager gets a feel for a game, and he sees how a pitcher performs in the 8th inning compared to the 9th inning. And when you have a guy like Bender who's just been lights out, he has, though, I will let you know, in a couple of the save opportunities, given up a run where he did go a long stretch without giving up anything. And it's a whole lot different pitching in that 9th inning than it is pitching in the 8th inning. So that's what Don Mattingly has to assess from the dugout right there. He has to, and he knows Yimi Garcia. He had him in L.A. So we'll see which direction he goes in the second half of the season, because they're both will be ready. So when that save opportunity comes up against the Phillies in this first series, I'm actually curious to see who he goes to, if he goes with Bender or if he goes with Yimi Garcia.
Do you like the 7-inning doubleheaders, Tommy Hutton? I would imagine you're a traditionalist more so than inclined to roll with this kind of a change. What do you think? They're going to supposedly bag it next year, and the same thing with the runner on second base once you get to extra innings. So what was your feeling about those two changes?
You know, I don't like it, but I'll tell you what, the game's going to have to change as far as pitching in order to go to nine innings. If they go to nine inning doubleheaders, there's going to be 25 pitchers used every game. It's going to be unbelievable. I'll be honest with you.
That's
crazy. Until starting pitchers can learn to go more than five innings, a nine inning doubleheader is going to constitute using four or five more pitchers. So you got that again in the second game of a doubleheader. So am I a traditionalist? Yes, I'd like to see nine-inning doubleheaders. But unless they learn and train pitchers to go longer, starting pitchers, it's going to be a mess. Games are going to last 5 hours to get a nine-inning game in. Then you're going to have – how about this? How about this scenario? You're going to have a game where we see all games all the time. Every team does it now, where they use an opener and a guy pitches one inning. Every once in a while, you're going to have an opener start a nine-inning doubleheader. So what are you going to do? You're going to use nine pitchers to pitch in a doubleheader. So do I like nine innings? Yes. Am I looking forward to them? No. How's that for an answer?
That's strong, solid stuff. Not to sound like I'm stuck in a time warp again here, which, you know, a lot of people feel that, you know, that's definitively the case, but am I looking too hard at batting average? Why isn't that more of a – I think we've discussed this many times, and I think your feeling is somewhat similar to mine, but why isn't that more of a pertinent and important measuring stick for the success of a hitter? I mean, I'm looking at the top 10 in averages. I love to, scour my way through the agate. And you don't even have five guys, what is it, in the National League that are hitting 300?
Well, it's a whole new game. You have different swing patterns. You have guys with launch angle, and you have games where so many more games now have double-digit strikeouts in them on both sides. And so you have guys that approach hitting that way. And, again, that's just the way. Do I like it? No. That's the way the game is played now. Strikeouts, launch angle, home runs, and go from there. You don't have as many balls put in play as you used to. So that's why you don't see many guys hitting 300. But you got to get a little lucky, though, you know, to hit 300. You got to have some breaks on your side. You're just thinking about it, you got to be lucky like Gurgles was when he got out of the chute in Vegas with four quick
to
dimes.
To the tune of four dimes,
I heard Gurgles was on fire with four quick dimes. Amazing.
No, that was great. I mean, what better way to start a gambling venture, especially one that's going to have like a 3-4 day duration on it, than to pick up four dimes right out of the chute? Unless it goes to your head, you know, which it can happen with a guy, and all of a sudden you feel invincible. And he did win it on a fluke game, so that was a plus. I think he took it for what it was worth. All right, I'm looking at my New York Post, Tommy Hutton. Do the Yankees have any chance of catching what would have to be baseball's surprise team? If it isn't the Giants, I think clear-cut it has to be the Boston Red Sox, who many thought were going to finish last in the AL East, and they have themselves a couple of games up on the competition and eight games ahead of the New York Yankees. Do the Yankees have any shot, in your opinion, to come back and make a race of it?
Well, let me first say it's a great series to start after the All-Star break. The Yankees open up actually tomorrow. They play the Red Sox. So that series, I think, is crucial for the Yankees. But, you know, they come into the second half. Right now the Yankees are eight games out. They're actually tied with Toronto. In my opinion, they've got too many teams to go ahead of because they're going to be playing those guys, Tampa Bay, Boston, Toronto. I think Toronto's going to get a little better the second half. And they got to jump over too many teams. So to answer your question, Defoe, no, I don't think they will.
Does that mean the departure of Brian Cashman, in your opinion? Some people believe that he's locked in there on a lifetime deal, that, I don't know, maybe Lisa Meanwell has pictures also with the Steinbrenners. But somehow since 2009, no championship in a town that demands that as the bottom line standard. Does he stick around? We've had people like our good friend Len Rahman speculate that if they don't make the postseason this year, which right now they're not in a position to do, that Cashman, longtime GM of the Yankees, would be gone.
Well, I don't know if it'll be the departure of Cashman. It should be the arrival of some left-handed bats in their lineup.
Yeah.
That's what they need. And it's always easier to get rid of a GM or a manager than it is to acquire some outstanding bats. So what they really need, they need some athletic guys, some guys who get on base, some left-handed bats. They got a lot of hitters that are all the same.
All right, and final thing, Tommy Hutton with us from the Marlins broadcast team. And, of course, always great catching up with Tommy in any capacity, and always great seeing him on TV with his tremendous breakdowns and previews of the Marlins' action in the second half of the season. And it should be a lot of fun. The Home Run Derby, I was saying that if Richard Branson was still in space when they held the Home Run Derby on Monday, that he would have needed a glove. Because Pete Alonso, what was fantastic. I mean, that was as enjoyable a thing to watch as anything we've seen in baseball this year. A lot of fun. The Chicks still do dig the long ball, and so do the rest of the fans.
Yeah, I think over the years, more fans are enjoying the Home Run Derby than the actual game itself. And this year's, the matchup with Ohtani and Soto was incredible. It went down to a three-swing playoff. Soto hit all three out. Just amazing. And then Alonso, I mean, if somebody made the comment, even if you're a Yankee fan, you had to like what Pete Alonso was doing in that Home Run Derby. He was confident. He, at one point, I think in his last round, I forget how many he needed, but he took a timeout, and he came back and hit like six in a row, game over. He just mashed. And I think listening to him being interviewed tells you that the game's in good shape. How about this, Defo, about an international game? The game was won by a Japanese player. The MVP of the game was from the Dominican, and the save went to a guy from Australia. So the game of baseball is in great hands.
Excellent stuff, as always. And some of the Marlins broadcasts, as long as you're a part of them, the great Tommy Hutton with us here. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Always a pleasure, my friend, my future brother-in-law. If we're grandparents to a married couple, does that make us brothers-in-law, Tommy? Because I think we might be progressing in that direction.
Yeah, I'm not sure. My one last thought, though, the next time you go to Vegas, Defoe, don't give the Mustang the combo to the hotel safe.
Exactly.
She jinxed my bankroll. I was rolling, Tommy. I couldn't lose. That Saturday, I never cashed a ticket. It was ugly. They eventually cut me off at the windows. They just said, listen, kid, go home, man. You're not going to do it today. All right, thanks. Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, Defo, take care.
Thanks a lot. That is possible, Luby, that we become future brothers-in-law. We each, he has a six-year-old granddaughter, and Liam looking good at six. Young Christian has kind of a Brad Pitt look to him at 3 years old. This kid's going to be a stud. All right, we're coming back with more. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz with you. 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Old school, Tony Segretto coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Scoop Skolnick on Buckets from Five Reasons Sports Network in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Tomorrow around at Gulfstream Park for a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. And we'll be back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:53.